This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior.
So this is the famous Suning Night Market.
Yeah, the most famous.
Most famous.
Yeah.
It hasn't really changed that much over the last, well, I've been here, the first time I was here is maybe 15 years ago.
Yep.
It's got a few more LCD screens.
Yes, yes.
But they always had a lot of neon lights anyway.
Neon light, neon screen.
Yeah, so that's not a big change.
And I guess the people around here is the same, maybe.
How so? You mean demographically?
Yeah, demographically the same. Okay.
You know, I think the one thing I noticed, a big difference between the Suning Night Market and the Taichung Night Market, mainly in Fengjia, is the demographic is a little bit different. I think in the Fengjia Night Market, predominantly young people.
Yes.
But in the Suning Night Market, there can be all different ages, although, you know, a lot of young, but I see a lot of older people.
Yes.
So here we are at the Suning Night Market.
Yes.
And like we were just saying, no big changes in 20 years, and you're saying it's a big place for tourists.
Yes.
And that's like Taiwan tourists.
Yeah, Taiwan tourists. And,
so you're talking about people from the south.
Yeah, yeah. From the down south, from the east of the Taiwan. And visiting night market is family stuff, family fair.
A family fair.
Yeah.
Well, of course, if you came up to Taipei from like Kaohsiung or something with your whole family.
Yes.
And you stayed nearby.
Yeah.
You come here at least, you know, one night at least.
Yes.
Okay, spin around there, Jimmy, you can get a shot of the whole street.
Wow, look at that.
And of course, it has a very long street, but it's not just this one street. It circles all the way around in both directions.
Yeah, it's a district. It's not just a single street. It's a district.
The whole district.
Yeah, whole district. And this one is just one of the entrances.
One of the many entrances.
Yeah.
But of course, this is whenever I come here, this is the one strip I always come down first.
Yes.
And so we can see, you know, that as far as the night market goes, it's very similar to many other night markets.
Yes.
Only I think one of the big differences is in Taiwan, you get a lot of night markets where things are set up temporarily. Things here are temporary, but more permanent.
Yeah, permanent. But you just run in the business and from the evening to the deep night.
Yeah, if you came here in the daytime, totally closed.
Yeah, closed.
Right.
Been to that little place that we passed as we came in with like the fresh fruit and like the meats.
Yes.
Oh, you've never been down here?
I've not been into this whole place. I mean, like you're saying, it's a whole other city. So opened up here.
Yeah, a lot of these stores, some of them will even have basements. I mean, they're permanent, but then the things on the street come out at night. They're all locked up in the day.
Yep.
So you would never notice it much in the day. Have you been to the new section? Suppose there's a new section that's been set up. They've tried to organize things a little bit more. Do you know anything about that section?
I ever been to there. Been there once or twice.
Yeah.
Another part.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the lessons we learn here, Stephen and James, is that even when you have something so popular as this, there's really no way to come in and like give it some kind of different organization. It has a kind of its own style, you know?
Yes.
And I think if we compare this to, say, like the Fengjia Night Market, which we're going to visit another time, or the Xiaobei Night Market in Tainan, a lot of similarity.
Yep.
But I really love these shoe designs because you actually get this exact same kind of design inside the department store.
Yes, yes.
Only here you get it out on the street, you know?
I love the way it just spills out. Each shop is extending. I mean, the street's actually quite wide.
Yeah.
Extend right into the street. It's making most use of the space.
Yeah, even when you try to get this in Fengjia, they widen the street. I think they double the width. But then the actual walking space ended up being smaller because everybody moved right into it. So this is exactly it.
Right beyond the sidewalk in many cases.
Oh yeah, they come right out into the sidewalk.
Yeah.
A lot of these kinds of promotions here.
I'm just wondering here, these guys are way out.
Can you imagine it's packed and you cannot move in along during the weekend?
Well, here we're, I mean, this is like a Wednesday, and it's incredible. This is midweek, and this kind of retail activity that's going on here is incredible.
Yeah, what we have is Wednesday, it's middle of the week, it's not a weekend. So if you're here on the weekend, it literally is bumping up against each other. You can't move without bumping right into anybody. You can't move backwards or forwards, really packed. What about the prices, Stephen, in a place like this?
It depends.
Depends on what?
Depends on the bargaining.
So you have to be able to bargain?
Yeah, sometimes.
So don't come to a night market unless you can bargain.
Sometimes, and sometimes they have the special over.
Like a special here?
Yeah. And we can say the pricing strategy of the night market is dynamic.
Dynamic.
Very dynamic. Yeah, maybe the same seller will sell his stuff. Okay, this one is the oldest lane.
So this is the oldest lane that's in the Philly night market.
Yes.
So even in here, we have our big bra stores. Bras are just crazy recently. They're everywhere, and all the department stores, every place. And of course, shoes and clothes are really big sellers here. Again, I think a key, like you're saying, is you got to be able to bargain. But even if you can't bargain, you can just get some good prices just on the list price.
Yes.
It's not narrow here, but it's become narrow. We've even got luck in front of us here.
Yeah. There's a mobile shop. We'll go this way, you go that way. So we have a mobile shop that was right in the middle. And this is very similar to when we went to the wet market.
Yes.
And so you had people that could move around. I guess you can try to save some rent that way.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't know. I guess with one of those, not paying the council.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, you get all these stands that come right out into the street. And you get your people out in the street, calling people right in, getting attention. If you want something, just say it.
Snack here, all important snacks, right bang in the middle here.
Yeah, all our snacks. You can't have a night market without a lot of food to eat, especially a lot of kind of snacks to eat. Okay, so here we go. We've just gotten through all the food, Eric. What's up?
Take you 20 minutes.
Just to go down this street.
Just go down the
street. Just this one small street would be 20 minutes. And the walk all the way around the market would probably be a good hour. At least, minimum. Boy, some really crowded space here, huh? But I think the point is, it's not necessarily crowded because of the people. It's crowded because the design is making it crowded. Oh, come on. This design is really pushing people in, funneling people in. The street is at least double the size of what we're walking on, at least.
You can see it, yeah. I mean, this is a classic example of what's happened on the left here, isn't it? Where...
Yeah, you're way out into the street.
Beyond even the boundary.
So, Stephen, it's really the street design that gives you that crowded feeling,
yes,
don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, there are a lot of people here, but what we're talking about is just a couple people width-wise, and already you're out of space.
Uh-huh.
The street is at least double, maybe three times the actual width.
Yes.
So for the retailing situation, you're just funneling people right in. This is the definition of Zhe Nao.
Yeah. And the people enjoy the feeling of Zhe Nao.
Exactly. Yeah. So the funny thing is, if you were to give a survey and ask these people, do you like to... Ask my students, for example, would you like to go someplace where you're packed in? Everybody says no. But this is really packed in, and everybody enjoys it and feels comfortable in it.
And maybe more packed. More packed.
More packed, yeah. We're not even packed
more
today.
More enjoyable.
Yeah. The more packed you are, the more enjoyable it feels. Nobody objects to the design, and it just adds to that feeling.
Yeah, they leave this design unchanged.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
We're down to one person.
Yeah, we're single file right now. We're actually single file in a big street. I don't know, Stephen. This is my definition of Zhe Nao. What do you think?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Oh, somebody wants $30 to buy something. How about a squid?
For a drink or both?
I had enough, I don't know.
You could have a squid. I don't mind.
Okay, what category is the main category of the night market?
It seems to me that we're walking in the main category as food.
Yeah.
Here, Anastasia, here. Would you call that the main category for the night market food?
Yes.
I think it's definitely one of the main categories, and certainly certain sections of it is. Even when we go to the Fengjian night market, the whole area, every other stand is related to food somehow,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Everybody comes out to get a snack or hang out with their friends.
Yeah.
But I think it also reflects on Chinese cultural emphasis on food in general. You get people coming out, they have a social time, they have their friends together, and what do you have to have? You have to have some food. You got to have food. You can't get away without it.
Yeah, maybe it related to the Chinese night food.
Yeah.
No habit of night food.
Night food, night snacks, yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
In between the meal. I mean,
what
amazes me is when I go into Carrefour and you still see those little snack wagons inside the store.
Yeah, right. They try to adopt a little bit of that, right? But here we can see that, you know, it's going to really be hard for a mainstream Western retailer to copy this kind of format. It's really hard. It's hard on two levels. One level, the psychological level of they just can't buy this as being the right way. And number two, how do you implement it? It's really hard. And I think we saw a little bit of that in Hong Kong, maybe, James, where if retailers could co-opt it a little bit and then bring it in, or maybe like rent out some space and let some vendors come in and create that feeling. But in Taiwan, we don't see that. The Westerners just keep it their Western format.
Like the way they're sort of familiar with. I think that's really, it's kind of odd because, I mean, what other retail format on a Wednesday night is packed like this?
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's just the whole world is
now
here.
Now, you can't tell me you're not getting a lot of revenue here.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
Some of these other places, such as the Mr. Donut behind me, but you can really see the contrast. You know, we have nice, clean Mr. Donut with the glass windows, and then outside in the Suling Night Market, you have this really chaotic kind of crowding and a completely different setup. So I think it's a really strong contrast. You got to watch out. That is not the same as what we have right here in front of us everywhere. And these retailers have tried to come into the market, and they just can't make it. They can't really cut it. Because you're not adopting any of that format. These guys should get out here with a stand. Mr. Donut should get a stand out here, and they would have more success than what they're doing in there. So it's a really strong contrast, and I think these retailers have tried for many years without success to break into this huge revenue stream right here. That's the Zonao thing.
Dunkin' Donuts. Deserted.
Best dish.
Asian marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior.
Thank you.